don't know about you guys, but I like to smoke, drink, and then pilot a fucking mech.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast, episode 196. Let's sausage.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to Ordinary Sausage.
I'm your host, Kyle McLemore, and join with me today is Micah McGowan.
I am enwrapped in the fires of Rubicon.
And Michael McGreenwell.
The fires of Rubicon.
The fires of Rubicon.
The fires of Rubicon. Abide with Rubicon, apparently.
Yeah. The coral abides with Rubicon.
The Metal Gamers Podcast. The Metal Gamers Podcast is going to be the first over the wall.
Let's go Brandon all over again.
Dude, can we get the TMGP logo into AC6, please? So we can put it on our mechs?
Oh, I'm on it.
You can make it. Yeah,
yeah, I know. You can port it in.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
Oh wait, you can port.
That's the impression I'm given from the menus. Like when you get into the
impression you're given. If this doesn't fucking work, this is on you. Okay.
You know what?
Keep your bullshit going.
If I can't drag and drop a PNG into Armored Core 6 now, this is all your fault. And I'm contacting From Software, and they're gonna fucking invoice you. Okay.
Yeah, NBA, I'm looking into it now.
Representing.
Okay. So anywho, we're the Metal Gamers Podcast.
The Metal Gamers Podcast. Yeah. If this is your first time listening, I recommend going to patreon.com/TheMetalGamersPodcast and check out how much money you can give us. It's a lot, actually. Get the high score. Give us the most money per month. And you gotta do it for at least a year to actually be recorded. And so fight that out yourselves. And speaking of fighting it out and metal, Armored Core 6, The Fires of Rubicon.
Okay, so you can't import images, but you can do it all within the game. And I just saw a guy import the most anime face I've ever seen. I think we could do it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's gonna take some work, but we can do it.
It's like a little work. You know, I appreciate you doing the research. So I'm not gonna hold
Wasn't much.
All right. You did your own research, and I'm proud of you.
I'm a QAnon guy. What can I say?
Oh, no. Whoa. No. People will believe that. You can't just throw that out there.
Yeah, we got a conspiracy guy in our Discord now. We can't.
Oh, God. Yeah, we can't just fucking throw that kind of fun stuff around anymore.
Can't be that kind of flippant.
Yeah, if you listen to QAnon, maybe listen to a different podcast.
But boy, like we've talked about before, we are in a glut of good video games. Armored Core 6 happens to once again be one of those games where we were very hyped about it. They showed us gameplay and it ascended our height, or hype and height, I guess. Actually fired up the game and it did exactly what they showed me and it felt amazing. And they delivered.
Yep.
From Software, once again, delivered a banger of a video game. And it's Armored Core 6.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome, man. I haven't actually spent a lot of time with it. I think I've played 6-7 missions total. That's enough for me to know that this game is the fucking tits. And I love it. And I think anybody who likes mechs will love the game. Now, yeah. I will say, don't go in expecting it to be a Souls game, because it is not. Not even fucking close. It is an Armored Core game. It is very different.
It's not only different, but so Kyle, which I would love to know, you had a physical copy for PS5 and a digital copy for computer?
That's correct.
Okay. So he let Mitchell borrow his physical copy for PS5, and Mitchell was messaging me about it. And I was like, hey, man, I think you're going to have a great time. There's a steep learning curve, and you just got to figure it out. And the game will tell you if you're doing things wrong. And to the game's credit, the tutorial mission is pretty in depth.
The training is really good.
If you fail that tutorial boss a couple times, it will then give you a couple windows of you're dodging, but you're not dodging in the air. So you're taking a lot of unnecessary damage. So it will tell you and train you to learn how to kind of stay in the air some, because that was my problem. I was trying to still dodge and play it like a FromSoft game. And you can't.
Interesting.
It's an Armored Core game. You got to play the game.
You got to keep moving.
Yeah.
As a man, I know Mitchell has conquered Dark Souls 3, so I am confident in his tenacity to conquer Armored Core 6.
He beat that helicopter.
Having a blast with it. And like you said, this is not Dark Souls. You are not using items on the battlefield. You get like a few repairs, quote unquote, an Estus, I guess, if you'd want to consider that maybe a Souls thing. And a little bit more melee than usual. Like, there's always been a, like some light melee in these, but I feel like this one's a lot more fluid. Like, once you actually start unlocking certain parts that allow you to do that. And it's been a blast just glide around like constantly. Like, it feels so goddamn good just going up and down, dropping your boost and just landing on the ground, solid fucking thud. I'm like, big meaty metal. I love it.
All the guns feel so different and good at the same time. Like, every gun feels like it has a completely different use, which I really like.
Yeah.
Multi-targeting like four little helicopters in the air and all the missiles like locking on to each one and I'm like, oh, so yes, this is exactly the experience I wanted. The boost that they've added to it, being able to be suspended in the air for long periods of time, like there's a very good balance between ground and aerial combat, and how much you can change that up depending on what you want to do is fucking awesome.
What are you guys working with? Because I'm working with two chain guns. And the most amount of missiles I can shoot off both shoulders are 10 and 8. So I'm just full heavy arms from Gundam Wing Fantasy. You get 1,300 rounds per chain gun. All you got to do is balance the overheating. And once they run out, he'll just purge them. And you can just start throwing fists like a motherfucker. Like,
so are you rocking bipeds or treads?
So I did try the treads, and I do like them, but man, I found myself in a boss fight where the bipedal speed, like, I am at the threshold of, like, I literally cannot carry more weight with the legs that I have. Like, I am at that that max limit right there, where I still get like 3 to 4, sometimes maybe even 5 dodges with a full bar. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like the balance is there because it's unrelenting pressure. Where like, I'll hit you with one chain gun, hit you with some shoulders, get you to stop, maybe even break your stagger and just unload with you on the other, or I'll do both chain guns at the same time. Like, and then every now and then certain bosses or certain scenarios, I'll drop a chain gun and pick up a sword, because that allows me to get in real quick and do some extra damage and then back out and just bombard again. Like, what I love is the strategy for every boss isn't this is the way you have to fight the boss, but what is the way you want to fight the boss? Which is like, you know, FromSoft has been doing that for a while, but man, for them to pull it off with mechs now too, like, it's just incredible. Like, I've completed a couple missions a few times. I'm sure like Kyle has too, where you're trying to like S rank these missions. I've completed one mission like 4 different ways with 4 different builds, and they're all viable.
I felt just really good about I did replay one mission, and that's that first one-on-one fight with an AC. I replayed it once because I was like, because I just finished the like the giant walker mission and unlocked all these parts. I redid my build. It's like, let me go test it out against this AC, and I S ranked it on the first retry. And I was like, okay, I found it. I've actually only died once in the game.
Let's talk about that mission in particular.
Which one? The walker mission?
The one-on-one.
What about it?
I was telling Micah earlier, I wish instead of it being like, oh, test drive your AC and go into that little training room, it just auto put me into that mission. Because I've done it like 5 or 6 fucking times with different builds, being like, how fast can I kill this fucking kid?
Like, so there,
it's satisfying, and I love the one-on-one, and that's just like how I test drive my ACs for the most part. And you get paid to do it, so I'm like, fuck yeah, give me that money.
There is an arena mode that you can unlock eventually, which is a lot of fun, that will help with some of that. And then there is the training, the AC test room that it puts you in. You can drop 1v1 mechs in there with you.
Yeah.
And like, or MTs, whatever they call them, like the standard kind of like, but slightly tougher enemies. Like, being able to drop in there with them is like,
that's cool.
Sometimes I just drop in there and fuck around, and I'm not even real. It's just fun to pilot an AC around and fuck shit up. Like,
just end up training for hours on end. What am I done with this mission? Oh, my God.
I've only died once in the game. I think it was on the 3rd or 4th mission where, like, you're killing helicopters. That's your target.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, there's like a, it's not quite an AC, but it's like a strong MT. And I was like, but I've been blazing through every mission so far. So yeah. I went up against that dude and he destroyed me in seconds. Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck, I got to take this game a little seriously now. Oh, my God.
I finally just went back to that mission and went right through it.
Blew through it. I will say, I was also trying to get used to using back paddles, which I am now fully getting used to, and it feels really good. I have it to where like my two right back paddles are jump and dodge, and my two left are my two shoulder buttons.
Interesting.
And, like my back weapons, and it works really, really well because I had it to where it was like the top two were my shoulder buttons, and it didn't feel natural for me for some reason. So I switched it to that, and that's been fucking sick. And now that I'm starting to get used to that, I feel like I'm just zipping through shit. Cause I just changed to reverse joint legs and a really, really efficient high capacity engine. And I'm zipping around this bitch with a shotgun and a sword.
Yeah. Dude. The shotgun is a lot of fun.
I made a build like that as well, a super duper lightweight with an energy weapon that basically shoots lightning and it's chargeable. It's very fun. Like one set of missiles on the back.
I was
super high energy, super fast.
I'm going to change one shoulder to be rockets so I can split targets. And then the other one's going to be for just breaking ACs, which is probably going to be that laser cannon. Which is just absolutely,
fuck, though.
I know, but it fucking hits hard. It just absolutely crumbles a stagger meter.
I'm trying to make my sorcerer, like just building that right now. That's a tetrapods and every weapon that looks like a fucking spell instead of a gun.
So energy weapons.
Yeah. So I'm trying. Been very fun.
I do wish you could put a energy sword weapon on the right hand as opposed to just the left.
Yeah, I agree with that. That kind of sucks. And it's the same thing with like the I don't use shields, but you can only do shields on the back left one. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I do
That's
wish you could swap
wired, man.
They do have a system where when you complete certain arena fights, you'll get points that will let you buy newer upgrades for the mech, like expansions and stuff. And one of those is you can take hand mounted weapons and make them shoulder mounted weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, because now I can put a chain gun on my shoulder as opposed to my hand and still have like,
I don't think you can fire it as is. I think you swap to that weapon when you activate it.
That could be it too. And I misread, but
cool
like,
too.
But what I do like is whatever those points that I'm referring to that you get. And you spend to like change the way some of your AC works, you can refund those points for like some money. Yeah. So if you're like, hey, these point distribution isn't really working for me, I'd like to reset it and do it again. It's pretty cheap. It's like 10,000, maybe less or more. But I thought that was pretty good. I was happy to see that because I was like, fuck, the point distribution I have wasn't working for what I'm doing now.
Regulize fucking cheap
respecs. Dude, like, Baldur's Gate 3
did that shit. All right, AC6 doing that. That's the shit.
It's the way to do it.
Resident Evil 4 leaned into that a little bit with Diablo reselling 4. Not being so bad. Diablo 4 was okay. You know,
it's okay, but they need to be a little bit better about it. But like, these two games are prime examples of like, it's about changing your shit up. Like, change it up.
Mm-hmm. Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Like, I finally got to what pretty much all these YouTube channels and podcasts were talking about when they were talking about the first act of Armored Core 6, which is the wall, quote unquote, mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got through that, and it wasn't nearly as painful as everyone made it out to be. However, like, I did see the difficulty spike right out the gate. Like, right out the gate, it's just like, hey, you hit start, get ready, you're going. Like,
I think,
but I managed to like just tediously like make my way through it and take my time and be cautious and stuff, and made my way all the way through it. Got to that final boss, did get my ass kicked on the first round, like learning it, and then immediately changed to my lightweight build that we were just talking about, and that was like the golden fucking ticket right there immediately. So like, I'm doing it.
I felt the same way where people were saying that first helicopter boss on the first mission was a wall for people, and like people are quitting the game over it. And I was like, I breezed through that shit. Are you serious?
It took
kind of
like,
strange.
Took like, me like 3-4 tries.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It took me a second try just because I underestimated it on the first one. I'm like, what the fuck, I'm playing? I don't fucking care. Oh wait.
Maybe I might have just got lucky then.
No, yeah. I think it's just.
Oh, you're probably just more cautious.
Yeah, than we you, were. You. Well, you also you might have some no, more I was in, experience.
I was like, I was in the asshole of the helicopter, shoving a plasma sword into it.
For to me, be fair, it was
that's the move.
But for me, it was staying off the ground and not absorbing the explosion radius damage. Because when you're in the air, if you eat a rocket, it's not as bad as being on the ground eating that same rocket. So yeah, that fucked me up. Rocket. It does. They're never delicious or so nutritious.
That's the thing. Like you think you're like, oh man, I don't take that much damage, and then you get hit with like one rocket, and you're like, yo,
The Walker mission was like that for me. Like I started that mission immediately having to use two repair kits because I was just like looking around. I was just gazing at like the sandstorm and like the its silhouette, the and I was like. Of it. This is pretty cool. And then I got hit by a storm of rockets and I was like, oh shit, that sucks. And then I got hit with a giant laser beam cannon. Just boom. I was like, god damn. And I had like 10 AP left and I was like, holy fuck.
That shit's so fucking cool too. The laser through the fucking desert level. Yeah. Like, way to make me love a desert level.
Yeah,
like, right. Holy shit. Like, zoom, like, oh fuck, what's going on? And then, like, I love the chatter, the enemy chatter when you're going up, like, oh my god, it's just one guy, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How does one guy do this?
This guy
makes you feel so badass.
This game exceeds on. Do you like all these mech fantasy tropes that you've seen in animes and movies and games over the years? Yeah, you do? Cool. We're going to do all of that shit for you. All the cool. You want to drop out of a helicopter from your garage and slide along the ground as your mech and all of its glory slides along and then stops and then does something cool? Yeah, we're going to do all that fun shit for you. No problem. No, don't sweat it. Like, it makes you feel like a badass at every fucking turn. I love it.
It is the fantasy.
This game really makes you feel like an armored core.
I was explaining to Kyle, they have this battle log system where in a level you might be able to come across an enemy kind of like off to the side somewhere that you can like chase down and fight, and it will give you a battle log progression and maybe some extra money. If you're scrolling through the missions on replay mission and there's a battle log and it says pending, then there's something you missed. If it says battle log,
one of those.
If it says battle log and doesn't say anything else, then there's nothing there that you missed. Mm-hmm. Something that took me a minute, because I replayed one mission like two or three times before I realized, like, I got everything. It's not the same thing as pending. But
you're already done.
Right.
Yeah. But replaying the missions to get the S rank, like, you would think, like, that doesn't matter that much. But, like, say you go back and complete a mission for S rank, and the mission progress screen is like, hey, you earned, let's just say, 250,000 credits. That's not like, oh, I maybe earned like an extra 10,000, 20, 30,000 because I've already done well on this mission. No, you earned an extra 250,000 credits because like I've left those mission screens on the replay mission and been like, wait, I have how much now? Like, holy shit. Like replaying the missions and even getting A and S rank is so worth your time.
Yep.
It is because there's so many fucking parts.
Parts and enemies.
They're expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy them all. So I'm going to beat the shit out of that one kid who's trying to get in his first AC. Yeah.
I just want a call sign. I just want a call sign.
I just want to do bad.
And it doesn't cheapen the game by you going back and replaying missions so many times that you get like way more credits than you need. It's not because like the parts you're receiving aren't incredibly.
Build the ultimate death machine.
They're not the parts you're getting aren't incredibly powerful or way more powerful than what you've received before. You're just getting different types of parts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it's well worth to go back and redo those missions to keep getting credits and getting more parts so you can then. Experiments like what we've been talking about.
Something that I noticed too, everything from the trailer of these games is from chapter one.
Yep.
Past chapter one is from it's incredible. Like all those trailers that like got us hyped as fuck, you can see all that in chapter one. Like that's wild. Like what the fuck else is in this game?
Missions too.
Yeah, like it's like I told Kyle, like the Strider mission that you just did, Mike, that feels like mid to late game mission. Yeah. That's mission three or four.
It's like four, man.
Dude, like it's so crazy. It's like, hey, take down the Strider, blow this laser up, and you're like, wait, what? I just learned how to fucking fly this thing. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Get in the robot.
Get in the robot, Shinji.
Damn it.
Get in the robot, 621.
Fucking meat corpse.
Mike, what did you name yourself?
I struggled on that Strider mission, by the way, because, like, yeah. I don't have, like, an energy-efficient mech at all, so like I was like barely hopping off, taking a couple shots, getting back on the platform. Just
there was
like,
at least one moment where I was like, well, I sure hope there's a platform beneath me or this is gonna be an issue.
The generator underneath the Strider was the hardest one for me.
Yeah, it was fun though.
Oh, I actually found like a nice little spot underneath there and then just shot at it.
Mike, what did you name your call sign in your mech?
My call sign is Solbertier. Surprise.
Yeah.
I haven't named my mech yet because I haven't finished a build yet. So
okay,
gotcha.
I named mine Troa from Gundam Wing, and then I went Heavy Arms as well. Like, I'm living the Heavy Arms fantasy from Gundam Wing.
This Bruiser build I'm making that's like fast and in the face is probably just going to be called Griff 1.
Fuck yeah.
Because you can name your different ACs, right?
Like yeah.
Your different loadouts.
Your builds.
Yep, and you can save each loadout.
It looks like you could save like 40 loadouts.
Yeah, holy I mentioned this to Micah earlier, but like I was switching loadouts and like I loaded in a new one and then went back to the, you know.
Yes, God.
Design screen, and it shows your mech being dropped into it. Like, it's a very small animation,
so cool.
But they didn't have to do that. Like, I just expected to go back and just start equipping shit and doing stuff, but it's just like, I was like,
if you change your core, you'll really have hoses attached to you and stuff too. Like, it's so cool.
So we can actually share each other's builds with each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
The sickest shit in the world. So apparently you can like upload it to, and it gets like a download number. And then if you copy paste that download number into it, you can download that. And so it gives you like a downloaded preset, kind of in the way that like it has like the Raven and the loader preset already built in. And as long as you have the parts, you can just equip theirs, and it just colors it and everything.
That's
so, like,
so
I can
cool.
just take the Sorcerer 7, put it in, and just fucking I'm in. You know,
that's so cool, man. Apparently you have to complete chapter 2 to unlock PvP and whatever that looks like, dude. The idea of loading in with a 3v3 with the boys trying to fight another group, that sounds like a lot of fun, man. Like, I can't wait till we get like a couple more, like another week or two into this game.
What's nice is we all three have very different builds too.
Yeah.
If he's got like the Tetrapod energy build, I've got the super fast short range build, and you've got the mega cannon, the bullets build.
All the bullets,
That's diverse enough that we've got a team. So.
That sounds like so much fun, dude.
Four builds. Like, I got my Sorcerer 7, which is definitely going to be my Tetrapod boy with slinging spells left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got Jorg under 1, which is just like a pure all black. I just did use like one of the blank, like everything's pure black.
Yeah.
Just bipedal assault thing. And then I got my super light one with the sword and energy thing as Assault Omega.
I can't wait for you guys to unlock
red, black color scheme.
I can't wait for you guys to unlock the arena mode. That really helps with like seeing what these other builds can do.
That's my favorite part of like, Armored Core games. I'm so excited.
When I saved my first build, I had like no weathering on it, and like with each mission I've been like increasing the weathering pattern on it.
I told Kyle the role playing for this game, like the head, like I know a lot of us have like, we do head cannon, or like you can get into the role playing of a game. Like when I'm sitting,
this one is interesting.
When I'm sitting here like taking these briefings and they're like, we'll see how you do, 621. And I'm like, I bet I do better than you think. Like, I'm actually in my mind quipping back, because like it feels like every anime where I've seen like the main character sit in the cockpit and take a mission briefing and talk shit and then go out on the, like,
flick cigarette.
As the cockpit's closing, like, dude, the game is so fucking good.
Honestly, like, my weird headcanon is every time I sit down to play this game, I'm clocking into work.
Yeah, like, it has that vibe.
Like, this is a job I would do for any corporation. If Walmart was like, we're getting into mech pilots, where I'm like, I'm working for Walmart, I don't care.
So I'm working for Walmart now.
Here's your missions, here's your stuff, and it's like, and then every time you fire a mission, I love the way it loads in, like, the dossier, and like, let's listen to one, like, yeah, we know you, that other guy just hired you to kick our ass, we want to hire you to kick his ass. I'm like, all right, I'm down, like, whatever you want. Like, let's roll.
I
like, we're tiring you, you're some guy.
I immediately picture Kyle being like, "Welcome to Walmart. Here's your sticker." Giant cannon shot.
Prices are always better.
Put a Walmart here. These guys are mining coral. We want to put a Walmart in there.
God, that's so funny.
Welcome to Burger King. Have it your way.
I beat Baldur's Gate 3.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Sir, this is Bank of America.
Yes.
Bank of Rubicon.
The Bank of Rubicon. But, I love this game. I want to play more of it, so get out of here. I'm done with this episode. Just kidding. I guess we can talk about Baldur's Gate as well. I've been playing more of that. I'm still in love with it.
I want to talk about it, but I'm getting so far in the game, it's spoiler territory now.
I've finally gotten beyond Act 1. I finally went through the area where it's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "I'm sure." Which is ironic because someone else started playing the game brand new and started talking about some shit that I don't think anyone's talked about. I'm like, "What the fuck did I miss? What the fuck? How is it possible?"
There's
I love the fact that every time we play this game, like I was telling you, Mike, the other day, when me and Micah did our co-op and I'm running as a bard, we went about that goblin camp an entirely brand new way I've never done.
I've never seen that before.
It was fucking great. And can't believe it's just giving and giving and giving.
Yeah, I don't want to like give a spoiler away because then people will probably just do it that way. I want people to make their own ways.
Yeah.
What you told me is nuts. Like, I can't even believe that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And the way I did it in my solo run is completely different than the way that Kirsten did it. It sounds like it's different than the way you did it. It's somebody else I was talking to, a different friend of mine who's not in our circle, who I was talking to about it, somebody I used to work with at BJ's. He was telling me about his. He's doing like an Illithid run, and he way fucking different. Oh my God. Like,
wow.
This game is magnificent.
It's magical.
And I got to a point because I accidentally started a romance with Lazelle. Like, and I leaned into it because accidentally.
How do you not?
Lazelle and I were fucking.
You've been talking about horny frog women for weeks now.
Since I've known you, Mike.
I was originally going to try to romance Karlach. Actually, I was originally going to romance Shadowheart. Then I met Karlach and I was like, fucking devil dominating on me. Let's go.
Come on.
She's great. Yeah, Shadow who? And then I was like, but Karlach turned out to be like friend. And I was like, you know what? Shadowheart.
Mm-hmm.
But then Shadowheart's just kind of whiny and like sew up Char's ass, and I understand that they're like character progression, I'm sure that changes and everything, but then Lazelle was just like DTF, and I was like, that sounds funny, so I was like, I was just went along with it because she's super, yeah, we fucking so I thought it was great. And then like she just like shadow rizzed me from the background, just being like, "You love me." And at some point I turned around and was like, "Oh fuck, Lazelle's the shit."
Dude,
Lazelle, more like Basil. Let's fucking
you
go.
Guys over here simping for Lazelle. Let me tell you something about Minthara.
True. Dude, did you manage to get Minthara in your
Minthara,
in your party?
Minthara can
what
be a companion.
You do?
Yeah, yeah, I killed her. So
well, so get
I
this.
Figured she was a companion based on the underwear I found on her body.
So get this. You
like,
can,
that's character underwear.
That's a backpack. Ooh.
I went the Dark Urge playthrough and you can romance her. But if you dark urge playthrough, when you romance her, you also get her. You also get an opportunity to kill her in a moment of her putting her guard down.
Of urginess. Yeah, I understand.
So like after you bone hardcore and do some of the craziest sex positions I've ever seen in a video game, you can just straight murder her like right that's after the fact.
That's like the double dark urge.
Dude, it was incredible.
Double dark.
I have actually rolled credits on I almost called it Divinity Original Sin, on Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
What a fucking experience. epic, cathartic, sad, awesome. Like, just it hit on so many levels and tests you in so many fun ways at the end. And I really enjoyed the fuck out of it. I did not experience everything in my 84-hour playthrough of my first Jesus. Character. That's just so wild. We're clear. I think the last game to take me this long to beat it was Elden Ring.
Probably. Right.
About yeah. It took me about a month. I played the game the day it dropped. Took me about a month. I beat it yesterday around like 3 o'clock. It was awesome, dude. I immediately said goodbye to that character, left the save there, and just kept playing on my Dark Urge playthrough. Like immediately.
Say goodbye back. It terrified me.
It is now sentient. It's on its own. Goodbye. It's paying rent.
This game makes me feel really strange things. Cause like I was joking about the relationship.
I know, Lazelle.
The relationship with Lazelle, I was joking about like that's funny and stuff. But because I actually am starting to get pretty attached to that character, I got to a very pivotal moment in her story. And I was making decisions that benefited her that I normally would not make. Because I felt like I needed to. And it was at the end of when I finished it, I was like, that kind of got fucked. Like, why did I do those things? And it was like, it's for bae.
Seeing people like play this game on stream and then like do the evil thing for quote unquote the lulz, and then it turn out to be something horrific, and everyone in the party just going, oh no.
Yeah.
Like we all feel real bad now is very interesting that mm-hmm. this is making us have these kinds of reactions to this game. But yeah, like the idea of any of these characters that I'm coming across, like something bad happening to them or them not having a quote unquote good ending is kind of nerve wracking, I guess.
Yeah. And my Dark Urge
like
playthrough.
Bad shit happened right on Act 2. Like as soon as Act 2 popped off, I'm like, all right, time to have some fun here. And something out of my control happened, but still technically that was something that affected the world. And I was like, oh no, what the fuck?
My Dark Urge playthrough. Karlach is no longer in my party or even at my camp. Oh, she wants nothing to do with me. She's like,
not surprised. She's peaced
out. Yeah, she peaced out real quick. And I was like, oh shit. So now Lazelle has kind of taken the front center stage of like part of my team. So like now that your Mike's having these experiences with Lazelle, I'm curious to see how ours might run parallel. If they even do.
I don't know, because Lazelle's attitude is changing drastically as it's going.
Whoa.
So it's not like that anymore.
God,
it's
very, dude.
It's I can't talk about it.
It's so
like,
good, dude.
The character progression in this game is pretty insane. And Kirsten's been kind of like hinting at me about, because she's going with like Astarion and like trying to help him out and do his stuff. And
his storyline was really good.
She said his storyline is really, really heavy, like emotionally.
Yep.
And that his whole attitude changes drastically as well. So it's like, and it sounds like there's not just one set path for a character's attitude change to go. Like it can go in so many different directions based on what you and them do together throughout the game. So
Yeah. My romance in my main playthrough was with Shadowheart. That went in places that even I was not expecting. And I am honestly genuinely excited to see where either Lazelle goes or maybe even Will, because I didn't use Will at all.
Me either, but that's because I'm a warlock.
Oh, okay.
He's in my party for like the most part, actually.
Okay.
His Eldritch Blast is the fucking the best thing ever.
Let me tell you about Eldritch Blast.
Also got like Cloud of Daggers, which kicks ass. Like that darkness that he can cast is really fucking good. Like,
Cleric, Shadowheart. Awesome. If you're not playing a cleric and you have Shadowheart in your party or you're playing a cleric, clerics become so handy. It's incredible.
Oh yeah.
It's incredible.
What's funny is I'm not even running her as like an actual cleric. I told you last episode what I'm running her as. She's fucking busted the way I'm doing the way I have her going right now.
I might need to hit you up for that build. I'm curious about that build.
It's fucking crazy. So basically I have it to where like at the beginning of combat she just blesses the other three party members.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of her equipment based around if you are concentrating on a spell, you get bonus damage or bonus rolls and stuff like that. Like almost all of her equipment is based around that. So then she cunning action hides, takes a sneak attack, cunning action hides, move on. So she's never getting targeted almost ever. And she's doing just
buku damage
and moving on. I'm running myself as a warlock, and then I'm running two bruisers with Karlach and Lazel, which this sounds like a party makeup that makes no fucking sense, but it is rocking. Like, yeah. Nothing stands in my way. It is fucking gross. Karlach and Lazel are both just disgusting.
Like, so out of curiosity, my sister had told me that she was able to talk her way through something in particular. And I was like, there's no, that option was not even there for me. There's no way that you could talk your way through this particular thing. So
is
I went
it in the creche.
No. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm trying to be vague.
Well, it very well, that's it fair. Could be a class thing. It could be,
dude,
like any so, number
so
of things.
I went back after
dialogue options.
So out of curiosity, before I left my save alone, I went back a lot to like see how this might have gone for me. I couldn't even get the dialogue options that she was getting, and some of them were not class based. It was just choices she had made. Period.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so incredible. Like, when they tell you there's like, oh, over 17,000 endings or something fucking bonkers like that,
I'm starting to believe it.
After experiencing the ending, I can now see slightly how those little variations might be there. And I only took one of the big main choices you can make towards the end. So, like, how many more fucking choices can I make towards the end if I go on this Dark Urge playthrough? Like,
I am.
I'm so curious
because, like, them calling it endings was one thing. But
yeah,
like, variations on endings. Which makes sense, and I could totally see.
Me too. You know? Me too. 100%.
The endings thing, I think, is something that like one of the developers just kind of flippantly said, and then of course every journalist in the world was like, based on the
experiences I've had with Bethesda endings and now Mass Effect and Dragon Age, like I think Baldur's Gate does have one of the better last like couple hours of a RPG ending. You know, I haven't played a lot of Final Fantasy, so I can't weigh those against it, but the ending that I experienced and the story that I went on, dude, when those characters were having those final dialogues together, I really felt it. And like, I was really sad and happy at the same time. And I was excited to just, I had to literally be like, you know what? No, you beat Baldur's Gate 3, play Armored Core 6 for a little bit. Cause I was about ready to just jump into my other playthrough of my other character. Like, I was just so ready to go back into Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Man, I feel like I'm having fun taking my time. Like at first I was like, I feel like shit that I'm being bombarded with all these new games and then not being able to finish them. But at the same time, like having Armored Core 6 come out and totally enwrap my attention and know that I get to go back to Baldur's Gate.
It's incredible.
I take my time with it now. Incredible. Like now that I know that it's as fucking good as it is, I'm like, I don't want that game to end. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to really see the ending for a little while now.
Right. You might like, not see the ending at your pace until the end of the year.
Yeah. That's fine. Like, honestly, as long as I can do it by the end of the year so we can talk about it for Game of the Year. Like, and that's about it. Like, I might pace it out that way. And same with Armored Core 6. And I actually, yesterday, I played a little more Street Fighter. And I was like, oh, my God, Street Fighter is so fucking good. It was like, oh, my God, all these games.
The thing that's nice about AC6, though, is that it's mission-based. So it's easy to just do a couple of missions and then move on.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
And you don't feel like you have, there's not like, oh, I have to find a stopping point like there is in Baldur's Gate. Like, man, I just keep going. There's got to be a stopping point. You know, you don't fall into that trap. Like AC6, just do three missions and clock out of work.
I was very appreciative of Armored Core 6 today because it presented me with a mission that was really difficult. Took me a couple tries. And then after that mission, the next mission was like, hey, another mission. That mission took 2 minutes. And then the next mission was the last mission of the chapter. So like that game recognizes when it puts you through the shit and then goes, hey, here's an easy like breeze through. Here's like an extra 150,000 credits or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like, to be fair, like FromSoft has always been very good with pacing.
Yeah.
Like
that game.
All right.
AC6.
That's actually not true at all. But
Dark Souls 2, baby.
They've gotten better. They've gotten much better, yes. Demon Souls and Dark Souls are pacing nightmares.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Dark Souls is still better than Demon Souls.
True. Oh, yeah, 110%.
So they've always gotten better incrementally.
Demon Souls is a fucking spider web of what you're supposed to do. It makes no goddamn sense.
Unless you're playing that PS5 version, that fucking thing's awesome. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, the game's still fun.
Yeah. Not the old one, though. Yeah, fuck that.
I do want to play the remake eventually.
I'd rather play the new hit game Golem. Remember that shit?
I don't know about that, buddy.
It's like a month ago.
I don't know about that at all. I don't think I could support you on this statement. I'm sorry.
It would take me less time, probably.
That's true, yes.
I don't know. What else was there? Oh, yeah. Shout out to Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. I haven't got to play it yet. I haven't bought it yet, but Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is the spiritual successor to the Jet Set Radio series, Jet Set Radio, Jet Set Radio Future.
Cool.
And it's from the guys who made that fucking game. And apparently, like, they fixed everything that made those games even a little bit janky. Like, those games had jank to them. They had some, like, missing mechanics and stuff. But they got the original composer for the music. The art style is 1,000% dead on to Jet Set Radio. On top of having rollerblades, you can have bicycles and skateboards and shit like that.
Pretty
cool. The tagging
cool.
is like a mix, a hybrid of Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio Future, where the original one was like kind of like a weird combo that you had to like push in. And then in Future, it was just like, oh, you just ran by and hit one button and you put graffiti up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot based on like just grinding and tagging and stuff like that.
Bring back Tony Hawk's Underground.
Correct.
Kyle, did that one like weird
you son of a bitch.
Did that one weird skateboard game get delayed? The mean you were looking forward to?
Yeah, it did. It got delayed until next year.
Okay. The glass one?
Story.
Yeah,
the glass one, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. So if anyone want to pick that one up, that's one I just don't want to fly under the radar. Like, I want to play that at some point.
Too many
but I just
good
fucking
games.
Can't. I just fucking
too many
can't,
good games are going to fly under the radar, unfortunately.
Which isn't a bad
man.
Thing. Yeah, man. Which is fine.
I tried to log into 14 today and like immediately was like, this isn't what I want.
Oh, no.
There's so much. There's two so many better games. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, God. Fuck this shit.
Become a Phoenix now. So
well, my guy's literally the real homie, you know?
That's literally what I did was went in, did the thing, and I did watch every cutscene and did all of that. And like, to make sure. And then I texted specifically Josh and Kyle and was just like, Don't watch the cutscenes. Absolutely boring slog of nothing.
What a homie.
Until the very end where you get a message directly from Yoshida in the same way that this same event has done in the past. So,
which is, oh man, it's so weird because thinking back to Final Fantasy 16, that game just came out and I just fucking beat it and it's not the one, man. When it comes down to it, I'm like,
I really enjoyed that game. It ain't it, though. when going up against any other game, if it came out last year, I would have been so high on it. Like, it came out during all of this, though. Baldur's Gate 3 being probably one of my top five games of all time if it ends strong for me. AC6 being just so goddamn fun. Like,
it's so much fun. I can't wait to break into the PvP of AC6. Because so there's the three of us. I wonder how many other people picked it up for PC. I'd love to do like a little TMGP community. Who's the best AC? Who's got the best AC?
Oh, yeah. Who's the Raven?
Show me your AC.
Yeah, show me your AC.
Am I crazy?
Have Sean shoutcast it?
Or is there not like a hot rod red color in AC6?
Oh, for sure.
Find one.
Yeah.
There is
a
presets.
Good one.
Yeah. Presets under, I think, like light, under the light setting. There's like a bright red one.
I need to find it because, like, I was trying to just make a hot rod red, and I was like, I can't
find
it.
I thought you'd be going for the purple.
My AC is purple, but I wanted to, but I was checking out colors, and I was going to be like, make it red, send a picture to Alex, and be like, red is red, brother.
I went with like a black and dark green.
Yeah, my Assault Omega one is all like just different shades of the shiniest red and black.
God, I can't wait to beat the shit out of you guys in my EC6.
So good. Yeah, but Final Fantasy 16 is old. Now it's time for the news. It may or might not be news. Yeah. For today's news.
Thank you for waiting.
Let's see. BioWare wanted to come out and let you know that, hey, we suck, okay?
Yeah.
Let's let everyone just gather their expectations of what you thought we were going to do with a new Dragon Age, a new Mass Effect, or any possible good game in the future. We just want to let you know that we can't do that. We can't do that. I know Baldur's Gate just did that. Don't expect us to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to need microtransactions in this. Anyways, we also fired 50 people so we can have a more quote-unquote
diversified and flexible team, which makes no sense. I've never seen a team be more flexible with less people, but whatever you got to do, I guess.
One of those people being the senior narrative and writing designers of the game, of the Dragon Age series.
Dragon Age Dreadwolf, which so clearly didn't have any writing to it to begin with. Like, let's not pretend that over the last, 10 years it's almost been, so from Inquisition to now, they've literally had like, oh, look at this moving picture, this moving piece of concept art that we have. Also, remember the end of Inquisition? You do? Well, that's all we got so far. So, thank you.
I think Kyle honestly fucked me up on this a couple weeks ago when Baldur's Gate 3 dropped and we discussed what companies would you like to see take over properties. And when he said, hey, Larian should take over Mass Effect, it has completely killed my enthusiasm for how BioWare will probably build out this new Mass Effect game. Like, Mass Effect 1 and 2 were great. I loved them. 3 is what it is. But, like, I don't know if I want Mass Effect any other way now.
I have a theory about what Larian's going to do next.
What's that?
I think they're going to continue doing a license with Wizards of the Coast for D&D, and they're going to do Spelljammer next.
Oh, Mike. What if? Mike, what have you done?
What if?
Wouldn't that be fucking nuts?
I would like them to do like at least one type of DLC for Baldur's Gate 3 before they move on, because they have talked about it. But dude, if they were like, hey, we're moving on, we're doing Spelljammer, I'd be like, cool, see you in whenever. Like, yep.
I have a piece of news for you. Larian originally was saying that they wanted to do zero DLC for Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, actually, we want to do more. We're looking into it. Now, that may be that it ends up being Divinity 2, like where they just release a bunch of free shit and just keep adding it to the game. Or they do that, which I believe they're probably going to do, is continue releasing a bunch of free small updates and adding new features and stuff in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they're going to make just one giant fucking expansion for this game.
Well, think about it, dude. They have all the assets. Take one of the expansions from D&D and just make it
a Strahd.
Dude, don't. Don't do that.
Right. Yeah, that'd be fucking too much.
Well done, fuck,
but
man.
Like, you know, we have our D&D settings that we're playing in David's Quest. We are doing a Curse of Strahd that you can see over at Patreon. But like,
which we'll be going back to soon. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, doing Sean's campaign on Roll20, and we are in the D&D world, so we are in all of these settings. Like, it does give me an appreciation for Baldur's Gate 3 a little bit more, because we've been interacting with Baldur's Gate as a city and like Faerun as a world. But like, dude, give me one of the expansions. Yeah.
They name drop serious D&D characters in all the time.
Not only do they drop serious D&D characters from lore from Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 in Baldur's Gate 3. And
General D&D.
Yeah, in Baldur's Gate 3, you eventually, without spoiling anything, you come across a room that has portals to all the other major points in D&D. Like Deepwater, Neverwinter, all these other places. You can't go through those portals, but they are there. So it's like,
that's interesting.
So it's like, it's there. They reference it. It's like right on the tip of, and it's like, of course they can't make all those worlds. That'd be bonkers. But like, I love that it's right there. I love
expansion.
That, yes, expansion. I love the playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3 with Kyle and the group. I would love if we got another one going with like Mike and Josh.
Night that Armored Core 6 dropped,
oh my god,
I had to unpack it at 6 o'clock, which was very fun.
It was,
mine got done literally at 6:59. My Steam went, you can play Armored Core now. And 7 o'clock is when we all agreed to play Baldur's Gate 3.
Yep.
So it was like, 1 minute of Armored Core. But honestly, I didn't feel bad at all. I'll play Armored Core later.
Two hours
Baldur's Gate
2 hours of Baldur's Gate 3 went by so fast.
Yeah, I was like, this is a blast. So honestly, I can't be mad.
Glory has died.
Equally good game.
We're in news. What are we doing right now?
Sorry.
Gushing more.
Sorry.
This is my fault.
It's so good, yeah. Dude. The games are so good.
Well, we started talking shit about BioWare, and then, you know, we just had to start praising Larian.
Well, we had, there was a relevant tie-in, but yeah, we just turned into gushing Baldur's Gate again.
Xbox Series S, Microsoft says that they think that there's no reason that they shouldn't have to have parity between the Xbox Series S and the Xbox Series X.
Except still, they can't.
At some point, it's going to fall off. I really don't know why this is. People are talking about this too much.
Well, Baldur's Gate 3 is a great start for this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, at some point, your games aren't going to be able to run on that. And when games can't come to Xbox because your old machine is holding on, you just need to have that SKU for some reason. It's like, yeah. Well, you either need to make a new Xbox or get rid of it. Like, and just break that promise. Fuck off.
This is the shit I was talking about like 4 fucking years ago. And I was like, why would you make a Series S? Like, you just made a console that's not going to live for very much longer. Yeah. Like, you made a halfway point console, but you're releasing it with the new console. So I don't really understand what the point of it was. Well, here's the fucking exhibit A of why that was a dumbass idea.
It's like, it's a totally fine idea because it's like, oh, people want a cheaper console. People that don't like give too much of a fuck about games like we do, I guess, you know, it's just like, sure. Oh, I want to play games. Here's a cheap entry option.
Yeah.
But the fact basketball. That you're holding back your premier console because games have to run the same on both is stupid. It's like people spent more money on this console. Like if they get to have 2 or 3 exclusives on that console, why is that a bad thing? Honestly, yeah. That just makes people want to buy your more expensive one now. That's a good thing.
Yeah. If you can't, like, if the only feature they're missing out on is like the split screen, is that so bad? Like, now you get Baldur's Gate 3 on your console. Like, the game will survive without split screen.
Like, Xbox has Starfield coming to the Xbox, but PlayStation has Baldur's Gate 3 coming to its console, which didn't have to be an exclusive,
no,
but it is now, you know,
in terms of that feature.
Yeah. And I've heard like so many people coming out and saying that they were going to like buy a PlayStation 5 for Baldur's Gate, which I think is hilarious. That it ends up being a system seller for them.
Let me explain something.
Yeah.
The fact that Megan picked up Baldur's Gate 3, my girlfriend picked up Baldur's Gate 3, started a character on my computer to like see what was going on because she's a big fan of Fallout. If Megan tells me that she wants to start a co-op playthrough, if you don't think I'm buying a fucking PS5 copy of this game, you're mistaken. I will definitely, I would play this game through all the way through with my girlfriend if she wanted to. Like, just be, and the fact that PlayStation will make that easier and I have 2 controllers already, of course.
Yeah.
Why would I not? Are you kidding me? That sounds like a ton of fun. Like,
that does sound like fun.
God, man, Baldur's Gate 3, the potential for replayability, for different experiences, for being able to do things in a way you've never seen before. It's just,
it's a good time. Anyways,
more Baldur's Gate.
We talked about Baldur's Gate again instead of the fucking Microsoft as Xbox Series S. Anyways, next piece of news. Gamescom happened. So we can talk about all the shit that happened at Gamescom.
It's another one of those things
where some people come out and say, hey, we're doing things. I'm also going to throw in some stuff that happened at TennoCon, because TennoCon happened and I'm actually kind of weirdly excited about it. So we'll talk about that too. So Gamescom came out and showed Jeff Keighley did some stuff. He came out and did his little song and dance. The dancing was good, I thought.
Did you guys see he got interrupted again?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
A guy tried to and they got booed off stage. Fucking loser.
I hope the next stage, the next time that happens, is they get tackled and sued into oblivion.
Probably will.
I'm sure they did.
At this point, I'm hoping Jeff Keighley goes, if this happens again, I want him taken out back and murdered. Like,
I think Jeff Keighley just has a gun from now on and just kills anybody.
Dude, think about that genuinely, though.
But what game is backing this gun? What guns are you using?
He's going to be the control gun from Remedy. He's in big with those guys. The Doom shotgun is also good. Yeah, I just like, dude, it freaks me out. It freaks me out how easily these people can get into these situations.
Yeah.
That have nothing to do with this.
Stand up and walk forward.
Yeah. It's like, dude, that's like, if I was Jeff Keighley, I'd be like, the next time somebody does this, I'm suing them into oblivion.
Like, they're probably going to up security at these places from now on. Because one was like a funny thing to talk about and it was weird.
Yeah.
Twice is like cringe. Like,
and apparently these particular guys have done it before.
But yeah.
So that sucks too. And that's unfortunate. Like, I hope Jeff Keighley steps it up a notch because, dude, he's so nice. He was being so nice about it. And I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, no, tell these motherfuckers it's not okay.
Well, they got booed by the crowd.
Yes.
So, like,
yes.
That's enough for people to be like, ooh.
Yeah, I hope so. But anyway.
I hope so, at least. Kyle looks puzzled.
What's up?
Sorry, I just found a game trailer that came out like 6 months ago that I've never heard before.
Okay.
Called I Am Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
Yeah, neither have we.
And it looks like a first person, like a
shooter,
like kind of game. Is he gonna walk on water? Please tell me. Are you turning water into wine? That's literally a mission. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, Kyle's distracted. Taking in information.
Yeah. Anyways, let's see. Little Nightmares 3 got announced and showed off.
Look cool. Didn't expect
Gamescom.
It.
Looks awesome.
I can't believe they're doing a third one. Fuck.
Little Nightmares That's 2 awesome. Just came out. It feels like
it was a little while ago.
Was it? Yeah. These are cool ass games. Cool. I've never actually got to play them, but I love watching them. And if I could ever get my hands on them and actually play through them one time, like I hear they're good.
Spooky season streams, man. Games.
Very creepy, like the Tim Burton like esque art style and everything, with some actual like horror behind it. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And it seems successful enough to warrant a third one. People are excited about it, so that's awesome. Good for them.
We got another trailer for Black Myth Wukong, which looks fucking awesome.
Man,
sure does.
I was feeling like this game was feeling like some kind of weird fever dream that only a few thousand people were experiencing. So it's nice every now and then when they drop some actual like gameplay and stuff, like, okay, it's good to know that this game is still going forward. There was some delays. So, you know,
the game's been in development for like 8 fucking years.
Yeah, it feels like it's been forever. I know everyone's gonna be like, it's a Souls-like, but like, man, playing off that, like that legend, that myth and everything, that kind of what started Dragon Ball 2. Like, I'm very excited to see what this game has in store for people of the genre. Mm-hmm.
I always like seeing stuff based off of that story because it always seems to work. Like that,
wonky.
That like PlayStation 3 game Enslaves, I think is what it was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
It was also based off of that. Yep. Also really cool.
Yeah. That game was so good.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
Let's see. Killing Floor 3 apparently got announced. That's apparently hasn't been one of those games since like 7 years ago. So
I don't know. I have no reference for those games, unfortunately.
I don't either. I have no idea what that game is.
I just know of them. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They're happening out there. Good on them. Crimson Desert. Look at that shit.
Have you ever wanted to play Elden Ring, Dark Souls, and Zelda all at once?
So I thought Crimson Desert was like the sequel MMO to Black Desert, but I guess it's Black Desert, but it's single player, which makes me want to actually play it because the like combat looks flashy and fun.
Yeah, it's in the Black Desert like universe or whatever, but it's a single player experience of a game, which reminds me a lot of like Dragon's Dogma, but like here's a bunch of extra like mechanics shit, like jumping in the air and bursting into a murder of crows and flying around and then coming back together. Like, yo, what the fuck? And like pole vaulting over a wall. Like, okay, I've never done that before.
I was for some reason under the impression this was a multiplayer game. This is single player?
I don't think so. No, I believe this is a single player game. Yeah.
Single player game. That makes the mechanics and everything seem a lot more feasible.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I was so under. I was like, "There's no way this game runs like this." Are you fucking
like
kidding me?
Like one of the, like because the MMO was like I played like a touch of it and it was rough.
It's a Korean MMO, so it's like
it looks beautiful, which is the coolest part of it. And there's like a little bit of like real time action. But taking that world and condensing it into a single player game filled with like you said, Legend of Zelda style mechanics where it's like physics based stuff and just like goof 'em ups on how you want to go about like your quests and stuff. Well, that seems cool.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Sorry. Pardon me.
No. Tekken 8.
Yeah. Tekken 8 got a release date of January 24th, 2024, which is awesome. Yeah. They showed off the hub area that's similar to Street Fighter V's little hub area, and it's not near as cool, but it's still pretty cool. The little avatars you make look stupid as shit, but the concept of what it is makes a lot of sense, and I really like where they're going with that. They showed off Yoshimitsu finally, and he looks fucking sick.
So as a Tekken fan, you pretty excited?
Oh, I'm very excited about Tekken 8. You know, in the same way that I'm excited about every Tekken that comes out. So yeah, the only Tekken I didn't play on release was Tekken 6.
Is anyone going to, is are any of us going to pick up Mortal Kombat?
I am,
I want to, but only for the single player. That story looks fun.
Yeah, there's a part of me that feels like I might be picking up Mortal Kombat.
I'm picking it up.
Yeah. Like, I don't
pick it up for the house. So we're going to have like Smash, Street Fighter.
I would love to do some streams of Street Fighter, Power Rangers, and Mortal Kombat.
I love the Power Rangers.
Power Rangers is off. It's off. Nope. It's off the table. Power Rangers is off the table.
Why?
Because I started playing some online matches and discovered that you can infinite combo somebody. So I was just like, oh, game's broken. I understand.
you've seen past the Matrix. You've seen past the Matrix now.
Well, none of us know how to do that.
Yeah.
I do. I learned how to do it.
Well, then
don't.
Game's
broken. I don't care.
But you feel like you can't go back from it.
Yeah.
It's I'll never be able to lose.
Yeah.
I'll either never be able to lose, or if someone can do it to me, I'll never win. Like, I hate it. It's like literally a 50-50 fucking coin flip. But every good fighting game has to have like some kind of burst, some kind of counter, some kind of parry.
Okay, look, hear me out.
For you to bring it back.
Hear me out. We all, whoever's going to buy Mortal Kombat, so it sounds like me and Kyle, and then Mike, we'll find a way to share it with you. We all train up really well, and we just do one or two rounds of beating the shit out of Joe.
No, it doesn't work.
It works that way. Let me have it.
It takes him like a couple of rounds to figure a game out.
Well, here's
he's just good at games.
Let me have it.
Micah, you would probably destroy him in Injustice.
I could, but only for like two rounds before he fucking finds some weird character. He'll use like fucking God. He'll use like Dr. Fate or some shit. And find some weird way to like tentacle slap me the shit around my fuck. God damn it, Joe.
Straight up meltdown.
I'm angry. Why is he like this?
I'm excited. I plan on having the physical because I got Street Fighter 6. I'm buying a Mortal Kombat physical, and I'm going to buy Tekken physical. So, like, honestly, if we wanted to like trade games, like, hey, you want to bring home Street Fighter?
Yeah, I would like to play Mortal Kombat. Yeah, if you're gonna do that physical, I'll split some of that cost with you.
Exactly. So that'll be fun. I want to have them for the little tournaments we're gonna have.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Which I guess Josh is gonna be a part of.
Dude, they got Kenshi in Mortal Kombat. I gotta try him. I want to try him out.
All right.
Josh is not a fighting game kind of guy. He's never been. As long as I've known him.
I'm gonna be a Jean-Claude Van Damme main. So. I'll kick you in the dick as many times.
God damn it.
I just want to play that game because of how meaty it is. Like, literally, obviously, it's like very gory or whatever.
Meaty,
but like, the punches and like the x-ray things, like as stupid as they are,
they're
it's
great.
Like, oh, you broke a skull, he's dead.
It's awesome. Dude, that's the only reason most people play Sniper Elite. Most people play Sniper Elite for the fucking x-ray. You shoot the guy in the dick. Yeah, like, come on.
I think that's hard. It's literally a fucking clicker. Like, you think you're playing a game? It's fucking funny. What else? What else happened? Anything else happened? Oh yeah, they showed more of Phantom Liberty, the cyberpunk like big thing. And
Wow, what a showing!
Holy shit!
That landed for you guys.
It looks like they revamped the game like fucking entirely. And I've also been like kind of high on watching these clips of people clearing out strongholds in cyberpunk current. And I'm like, fuck! I was playing this game very wrong. And honestly, it looks like a lot of the updates that they've made to the game over the last couple of years have really done it a service. And it is a game I think I will go back to and try again later.
Yeah.
Like, especially with the revamp that they're doing now with Phantom Liberty.
So what
I thought the trailer looked great.
So what I like,
just seeing the dude with the gorilla arms punch the guy to death and then pick up his body and throw it into another guy made me go, holy shit, they're doing it.
I love
they're doing it.
So what I liked is that the general update to the overall game is free. And then, so like all of those skill tree stuff and all those things that you like and you've seen are free. And then the Phantom Liberty expansion is its own cost. And
fucking no.
So that is good news.
What do you mean, oh no?
Sorry, I just finally saw the Tekken 8 hub that you were telling me about.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That looks like shit.
It's so stupid. I told you, it looks
dumb.
God
that's damn, amazing. That's bad. Amazing. I didn't think it looked that bad. It looks like fucking Wii bullshit.
The game is very Japanese as shit. There's a point where they show off like the rage art from Kuma, the bear. And yeah. it's him with like a fish that turns into a rocket. Like it's the game's fucking Japanese as shit.
And, and of course they're immediately showing everybody in all their fucking like Call of Duty Nicki Minaj skins and shit. I'm right off the bat. Like this, they're right, because they always show these big dramatic scenes like, oh, Kazuma must fight in volcano or whatever. I'm like, oh, this is shit's popping off. But then like they redraw it with like all the additional shit that they've gotten from the store or whatever, like the backwards hat and the chains, the sunglasses and like the floaties or whatever. I'm like, what's happening?
I like both sides of Tekken. I like the very serious side of it where it's very anime, but I also like the side of Tekken that's so goddamn goofy where you could put a shark head on Yoshimitsu and fuck people up. You know, it's like, I love that.
Yeah, it's not like I can say much. You can make literal abominations in Street Fighter now.
Literal abominations that glow with the power of a thousand and sons, with the arms longer than Dalsim, with the like, I don't even, with like
long's
a head.
Armor, long's arms longer than Dalsim, with Dalsim's stretchy arm ability,
and a head that looks like the dude who got the big suck from the SCP goblin in the animated video.
No one's made this hentai yet, and I keep trying to commission it. Okay,
somebody make.
And we were talking about Cyberpunk. Sorry.
Yeah, something like that. Totally derailed.
I'm sorry. I want to play that game again, and it'll be funner when I do.
I don't. I think I'll probably come back to Phantom Liberty probably sometime next year when I'm bored.
I will buy Phantom Liberty specifically because of Idris Elba. Like, he was the DLC, and he's just like, hey, he's in the world now. I'd be like, that's.
I do like that they've kind of leaned into the fact that like maybe the storyline they wrote for V maybe wasn't the best in terms of like how it leaves your character. Yeah. So they're just like, yeah, we're changing that too. Like,
yeah, based on what people said.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that they took that feedback. Like a lot, you know, this, I hope that this becomes a Starfield. What is it? No Man's Sky. Like turnaround story, you know, comeback story. Like, yeah. I really hope Cyberpunk really turns it around. We naysayed them for fucking years now, saying there's no way they climb back from this, but it seems like they are. They're finally making steps in the right direction, and I hope they've learned their lesson to not listen to shareholders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to fight back against shareholders, it affects their bottom dollar or not.
It's cool that they've always been the kind of company that's like, we're going to keep working on this until it's good, until it's actually what people wanted, or at least what we said it was going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was released the 2 years later that the developers had said they needed, then we probably would have just ended up here anyways. Granted, we're like 3 years later, but...
I mean, what? Witcher 3 just had a definitive edition that completely changed, like, a bunch of quality of life shit for it, like, fucking, what, 7 years later? Like,
yeah.
That's sick. Yeah. You know?
That's incredible. Yeah, yeah, they added, like, a really crazy next-gen update, and... Yeah, I'm hoping this is what they need. I'd love to see Cyberpunk in a good spot before they move on to what these Witcher remakes and stuff that they're doing.
Need to add a card game to Cyberpunk and I'll really play
Dude,
that
God
shit.
Damn it. Give me Gwent 3. Give me Gwent!
Gwent 3. I almost said
Gwent 3. We skipped 2. Yeah. We don't need Gwent 2. We know what we want. Gwent 3. We saw the success of 1. Fuck 2. We don't need to have that failure. We're gonna move right on to Redemption Arc.
Always the best
3.
One. Yeah, play the Witcher 2. Yeah. Shit fucking sucks.
Witcher 3 was fucking great.
Do that,
dude. I don't. Never mind. I'm gonna get on a tangent if I don't. Just move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah.
I don't think there's much else if you want to go on a tangent.
I just hate that the Gwent card game turned it into Hearthstone. Like, I just wanted Gwent 3,
standalone game.
Super simple, very quick. I can have a round with Mike, and like, I could do 3 games with Mike in 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah, but they gotta make money on
Instead, it's like, gotta be this thing where it's like attack power versus defense power. It's like, no, the way you had it in Witcher 3 was fine. Just let me do that on an expanded level.
I wonder if somebody is like self-made a like fan game of just Gwent on its own.
Yeah, that's the pack I have.
No, I mean like a video game version.
Oh, video game. I wish, dude. I haven't looked into it, but like that's awesome. What bums me out about the Gwent digital game is it's not just the game from 3 as intended online.
Granted, I could see them shutting that down pretty quick too.
Go ahead. Sorry. Huh? I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying if like they try to make it the Gwent fan made one, they'd probably get shut down pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
Something I was sad about, like when we went to Mitch's birthday party, is that I didn't get to play around a Gwent because we got stuck in the fucking 4-hour game of Magic. I want to do that next time we meet up.
Kyle's got the only other extra deck.
My deck.
Yeah, Kyle's got his deck. I always bring my deck, is always in my car because I'm ready for anyone to play Gwent. I have all the decks with me. But
that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's always in my car. I never leave it because I'm always at your place or with a bunch of people who would play Gwent. So Mariah hasn't gotten to play it yet, so she wasn't aware. But
I haven't played it in a while.
I was so happy just to see Mitchell play a round of 6-person Magic. Like, he was so apologetic. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. We just played Magic." I'm like, "Did you have fun?" He's like, "Yeah, I had a blast." I'm like, "That's all that matters, dude." Like,
yeah, good time. Yeah, he sent me a picture earlier. It was like, "I'm making a spider deck," and I was like, "Hell yeah,
yeah,
spiders!"
Apparently, Sean's making like a gray one deck for Gandalf.
Nice.
Ooh, that's cool.
It's interesting that all these people are getting into Magic for a very different reason. It's like, oh, there's Lord of the Rings now. I'm in.
Well, Sean's always been in, but the Lord of the Rings stuff is just enticing.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. I'm kind of getting back into Magic a little bit.
Cool. It's fun. I even bought a card while I was there.
Oh, nice. Did you? What'd you buy? Wow.
What'd you get?
Well, I have that SRAM deck, and I've kind of turned it into SRAM the Sword Collector kind of deck. And they had one I didn't have, so I was like, hey, I'll grab that while it's here. Okay.
So
I still have to build my Ken Masters deck specifically, and like it's all about just getting him out on the battlefield, getting extra turns, getting extra punches in. So like the whole theme of the deck is about getting Ken on the battlefield and you having to deal with him. Like, oh fuck.
I was talking to Mitchell and Sean about this earlier. I was like, I do find the deck building aspect of Magic enticing because like I can see how that would work as just as a deck builder.
It's
like
the best part of Magic.
Yeah.
Building a deck is the most fun part about it because like and then testing it and getting it like good. That was the most addicting part of Magic when I was playing it, especially when I was playing it heavily with Josh and Danny. Mm-hmm. It's because we'd bounce ideas off each other and like help each other build decks. And it was really fun to see them come together.
That's cool.
That's still the part that I enjoy. And sometimes I'll even pull up decks that people are making with the commanders that I like to see what's new.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make me want to buy cards, but what it does, it kind of scratches that itch. And it's in the same way that Armor Core is super fun.
Armor Core is scratching the same itch.
Build your mech with the different parts, swap them out, test it. You know, it scratches the same type of itch.
Are you guys on the subreddit? The subreddit for Armored Core.
I didn't think about that shit.
The Armored Core for subreddit has been a treasure trove of builds. I've just seen how people are
one. I'm trying not to look at it.
Yeah, it's a little spoilery for like in terms of what weapons can become available to you. Not so much story. Okay. There's no story spoilers, but like if you're watching these 1v1s, you might get some spoilers for gear.
Yeah.
So that's up to you.
Like scrolling past. Like right now.
It's up to you.
Mostly people put spoilers on there anyway. Yeah. Which
I love that builds are considered spoilers. I love that.
I was like $40 away from falling down a rabbit hole like a few weeks ago where I saw like a Battletech like starter kit or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you guys ever seen Battletech, like the tabletop?
I know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you build your mech and fight them in an arena kind of a situation.
Oh my God. One of the top posts in Armored Core is like a guy who's just painted his Armored Core in just the ugliest fucking way possible.
Yeah.
And it says, you guys are idiots. They're going to be looking for guys in camo.
Yeah.
It's the most hideous shit I've ever seen.
Real quick, we went to Mitchell's birthday party at Java House Gaming. It was awesome. Had a great time.
Java House.
Oh, that place is awesome.
Yeah. Joe brought up a good point. If Darby's and Java could like combine their aesthetics, that would be like a one-stop shop. But
they are moving to another place here soon that's bigger.
Oh, that's good. I think there's a part of me that has to stay away from being able to paint miniatures because I feel like I could go down that rabbit hole.
I thought about that because I actually thought about getting into Warhammer briefly Josh and I were talking about it. And then I was like, I started looking at it and I was like, oh no, my brain is going to eat this up.
Yeah.
The thing about their Battletech is that like all of the 3D printed stuff is legal or whatever. So it's like,
really?
Oh, the files are just
actually
legal.
3D print your stuff and it'd be cool.
What? Dude, I was looking I don't know if you guys caught me over there a couple times. I was just looking at the paints and like the brushes and stuff, and I was like,
okay, well, if I had a desk over to like right here, I could like get the like the little like thing that holds the minis and like to the weird angles so you can paint. Like I started going on Amazon and looking up like a full setup. Like I was like, no.
Wait till your 40s, then do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
Wait until you're like, you know what? Now stop.
There's a company that does Gundam builder kits, is now doing Armored Core builder kits. And they have them set for the next 2 years. Every few months they're releasing a new one.
Well, so me and Kyle were talking about that. If they release, if I can find someone on Etsy or someone online that's like, hey, you send us your Armored Core 6 build and we'll 3D print it and paint it, I would probably do that.
I need to get that resin printer today.
Yes, you do, because there's a lot of money sitting there. You could be the one, Kyle.
What do you do? Oh, I'll just print Battletech parts. You know what? Now that I say that out loud.
That sounds pretty dope, huh?
Oh my God. I can make actual credits?
Print money, Kyle.
Real life parts. Credits.
Yeah.
Sell the printers,
Kyle. Some people
call
these dollars. Not me, because I'm special.
The printers of Rubicon.
The resin of Rubicon.
They're on fire. Oh no. The fires of Rubicon. All right, thanks for listening to the Metal Gamers Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're in a podcast.
We wish you a very Metal game and a happy new metal. Yeah, I don't know.
I love new metal.
Listen to metal and play some video games.
Do it. Do it now.
Sorry, my ADHD. Point of it is
to be fun.
My ADHD is in full force today.
Did you get sidetracked again?
I grab a drink, and then I was like, hey, I should warn Kirsten I'm recording the podcast so she's not surprised by it. In case she walks in, and then I was like, oh, I want to grab a snack. And then I was like, oh, I'm recording a podcast.
Mike starts like getting the pans out, getting them all hot. He's going to make himself something nice. It's like, oh, shit.
This is the goofiest one. So
and then I just cooked dinner.
Mike, no, it's only 1:30.
Speed cooking.
Yeah, we just came back from Wicked, got some breakfast tacos.
Nice. Those chorizo tacos.
Nice. Yeah. I had some egg bites.
Fuck yeah. What you got, Mike?
Bacon in them.
I got Quaker Oats Buttermilk Ranch Rice Crisps.
Fuck yes, dude. Those are the best.
Dude, they're so good.
So good. The light crunchy. Yeah. They're so good.
In fact, let's just not do topics until Rumnarok.
Honestly, I just
save it up.
Podcast. True. I do. I am doing a thing with the topics for Rumnarok. So give me your topics. Send DM me the topics. I don't want these boys to know them. That's the whole point. Anyways, I mean,
this isn't even in the episode where we haven't even started the news.
I know, but it could go somewhere. It's recorded. Someday, thousands of years from now, and I say thousands because I believe this will happen relatively soon, aliens will come down and they will discover this single audio file of me talking right now, this moment. This will be the one that survives the crash. You know what I mean, the crash. And boy, they're going to be confused when they hear this.
I think they're going to end up
make sense, and it's not going to be irrelevant at all.
I think they're going to hear you say aliens, going to be like, oh, that's us.
Yeah. We'll get them there. Oh man, check out 4023 alien reacts to my voices.